Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. Happy New Year to everyone listening. As always, we begin this section with the reading of today's top stories. The first headline reads from front page of the News Gazette for today, North Prospect Avenue. Beef O'Brady's coming to old O'Charlie's spot. This article is written by Jana, J-A-N-A, Wiersema, W-I-E-R-S-E-M-A, and is based out of Champaign. You can reach Jana at J-W-I-E-R-S-E-M-A at newsgazette.com. A restaurant chain with a focus on providing a family-friendly sports pub atmosphere is coming to North Champaign. David and Maria Verkler, V-E-R-K-L-E-R, of Bourbonnais, plan to open a Beef O'Brady's franchise at 730 West Town Center Boulevard. Tentatively, we're trying to shoot for April or May, David Verkler said, adding that the timeline will depend on factors such as their application, with the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, and getting state and local liquor licenses. The Verklers also own a Beef O'Brady's in Bourbonnais, which opened in 2006, and is the only franchise currently opening or operating in Illinois. Verkler said that his wife previously worked with a major airline during the early 2000s when they sought a change that would keep them closer to home. The couple found that Beef O'Brady's was a good fit for both them and their community. According to the chain's website, the first location was opened by Jim and Jeanette Melody in 1985 in Brandon, Florida, a suburb of Tampa, with Jim Melody envisioning it as a neighborhood pub where friends and families could gather to join and enjoy good food and sports in a fun, comfortable atmosphere. Verkler estimated that there are roughly 130 locations across the United States today. This includes over 70 locations in Florida. He said there used to be other Beef O'Brady's in Illinois, but most of those closed in the wake of the 2008 recession. The new Champaign location is his and Maria's first foray beyond their Bourbonnais location. Verkler said they like the size of the community, the opportunities available, and the building on Town Center Boulevard. Our ambitions really came to life there, he said. We're excited to be coming to Champaign. I think it's going to be a great market, a great fit for Beef O'Brady's. The site was formerly home to an O'Charlie's restaurant and bar, which closed in January 2021. County records show that 730 Wings LLC, which is managed by the Verklers, bought the property in November 2024 for $1 million. Verkler said they hired a landscaper to start cleaning up the site even before the deal had closed, as they were aware that it had become an eyesore, quote-unquote. We look at it as being a diamond in the rough, you might say, he said. It's a great location. It's a great building. It's a sound building. It just needed to be cleaned up. Furthermore, the Verklers added a small game room to their Bourbonnais location in 2021 and are looking to have a similar place or piece for their Champaign restaurant. And there's one photograph that accompanies this article. It's an exterior photo of Beef O'Brady's. It's exterior photo of the building where it will be, the former O'Charlie's. It has some snow on it. Fairly large building, empty parking lot. The caption reads, a Beef O'Brady's franchise is slated to move into the former O'Charlie's restaurant building at 703 West Town Center Boulevard, Champaign. The property was sold for $1 million in November, with the buyers taking steps to clean up the site even before the sale closed. And that photo is provided by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. Next up, front and center, there's a large photograph, smaller article, but a large photo. It says, University of Illinois, let the good times roll. Clearly the most consistently explosive team in the Big Ten. After last week's road romp at Oregon, Bruce Weber is convinced Illinois is the Big Ten men's basketball team to beat, the former coach proclaimed on Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk. Do other national insiders share that opinion? Editor Jeff D'Alessio asked a handful, including CBS analyst Clark Kellogg. Illinois is clearly the most consistently explosive team in the Big Ten, but Michigan and Michigan State join them in the teams to beat category at this point in the season. As for spurtability, the Illini are number one in the Big Ten and top 10 in the country. Number 13. That's where Illinois landed in Monday's Associated Press Top 25 Men's Basketball poll. No other Big Ten team, is ranked higher, and Brad Underwood's Illini could keep climbing one top 25 opponent in the next 10 games. Number 10. Where Brett Bielema's Illini check in on Bob Asmussen's adjusted AP Top 25 ballot. Not due until after the January 20th championship game. Asmussen's rankings have five Big Ten teams in the top 10. And this is there's a very large, colorful photo on the front page of someone, two men seated, and one of them has a new basketball in front of them, and someone is giving them the basketball. The caption reads, University of Illinois men's basketball coach Brad Underwood signs a basketball Monday for Sal Nudo during a break in the Coach Underwood show with Brian Barnhart at Papadel's Pizza in Champaign. That photograph is provided by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. Next up, CU Schools Foundation, school-centric music festival on tap. This article is based out of Champaign and is again written by Jana Wiersema. The Champaign-Urbana School Foundation hopes to bring the community together at a new event aimed at celebrating local schools, musicians, and the community itself. CUSF will hold its first ever We Are the Schools Music Fest starting at 1 p.m. February 16th at the City Center at 505 South Chestnut Street. This event is more than just a celebration of music. It's a rallying cry to show our teachers, students, and schools how much they mean to our community, said CUSF Executive Director Michelle Gonzalez. We want every teacher to know they are appreciated and supported, and every student to feel inspired. The all-ages event is expected to run until about 7 p.m. and will showcase 11 bands, each one featuring a school teacher, staff member, or student. The lineup includes Mariachi Tigers de Urbana, New Orleans Jazz Machine, Squirrel Movement, Modern Drugs, and the Young Ones, Y-U-N-G, Ones. There will also be kid-friendly activities and information tables hosted by local organizations and high school service clubs. The show will be emceed by Pete Shungu, S-H-U-N-G-U, and co-hosted by CUSF board member Deshaun Williams. Tickets will be available to purchase at cuschoolsfoundation.org soon, and those who plan to attend can RSVP on the event's Facebook page in the meantime, the foundation said. Ticket prices are as follows. $40 for general admission, $10 for teachers, staff, and public school parents and siblings, $5 for students. The lower costs for those connected to schools were made possible by event sponsors. Meal tickets will also be available for pre-sale and are $10 for an adult meal, $5 for a kid's meal, and $1 for snacks. All proceeds from the event will go directly to CUSF teacher grants and sponsored projects that benefit teachers, students, and families at public schools in Champaign and Urbana. For more information, go to CU Schools Foundation, that's schools plural, .org, or you can email info at cuschoolsfoundation.org. That sounds exciting. Again, that event is called We Are the Schools Music Fest. It starts at 1 p.m. February 16th at the City Center, 505 South Chestnut Street in Champaign. Next up, Global Citizen. Danville native aims to build bridges between CU and India. This article is written by Luke Taylor and is based out of Champaign. He might call himself the Indiana Jones of India, but Brian Anton Rose is finding he's pretty happy back home in the U.S. "I'm a downstate Illinois kid. That's just the reality," Rose said. "It's the polar opposite of Kolkata, of 19 million people." Originally from Danville, Rose has lived in India for 15 years, earning recognition as a filmmaker, working in education, and connecting with his community. Now he's hoping to connect India with Champaign-Urbana to benefit students and educators in both places. That Indiana Jones comment might be a joke, but he's earned it after his many adventures in less than two decades. On his first trip to the country, intended to be a casual visit with friends, Rose had to visit an embassy because he didn't have a visa he needed. He found himself restraining what appeared to be an armed gunman. "When you're the biggest guy in the room, everybody looks at you like, save us. I was stuck in this room and I was twice his size, so I just rushed him," Rose said. It turned out the man who entered the embassy didn't actually have a gun on him, and once police arrived, Rose just got back in line. That wasn't the last time he drew attention for his height. He's 6'5". Rose is significantly taller than the average height in India. Rose says people recognize him almost anywhere he goes, even if he doesn't recognize them. Beyond his height, that's because he's made an effort to be part of the community and earn friendship and trust from the people he lives around. However, Rose said India still has work to do when it comes to the perception of foreigners, especially those with darker skin. "India is not a racist country. They just lack education culturally. Global cultural education in India is non-existent, so they just go on with what they see in music videos, things like that," Rose said. He said that rumors spread fast, too, with consequences as severe as foreigners being literally lynched in the street. Wow. However, Rose said that once he formed personal relationships with his community, they were quick to have his back. "I've been in jail. I was shooting a film in 2010, my first film, and I was taken off set by the police for being a Nigerian drug dealer," he said. Excuse me. Fortunately for Rose, that was easy to disprove. He's not Nigerian. The police captain was apologetic for the whole thing, and Rose was on his way home soon, but little did he know his friends from across the country were heading into town. "The next morning when I came in, the whole town had rioted outside the police station. I was shocked because they wouldn't do that for me in America," Rose said. Rose would become the first Black American to direct a feature-length film in India to theatrical release in India. He suspects he's the first American, but that's more difficult to confirm. The press tour for Life with Siren led to further opportunities, including work as a university dean. Rose has also built connections with the Indian government and worked to bring basketball and football to the country. His latest project, founding the U.S. Sports Academy in Kolkata, where he hopes to offer a multicultural education with a focus on sports and build a cultural bridge with the United States. Work on that is ongoing, even as Rose is in the U.S., alongside his numerous other projects and job at Edison Middle School. Rose planned to stay in Champaign for a relatively short time, partly to give himself more time to heal after his father's death, and partly so his wife could obtain U.S. citizenship. Once she has citizenship, she won't have to make annual visits to the States to maintain her green card. Rose picked up a job as a student support advocate at Edison because he lived nearby, thinking it would be short term because he didn't realize just how long the citizenship process would end up taking. "But it's been one of the best experiences of my life," Rose said. "It has healed my soul." He loves the school, the kids, the people he works with, and getting the chance to create some programs to be carried on by others as he returns to India. That does mean he's working a full day in Champaign, then switching to work in India as the two places are in near opposite time zones. The education job has opened Rose's eyes to needs here in Champaign that could be helped by a connection with India and vice versa. Looking at numerous open positions in Unit 4, he can't help but think about the many highly educated, passionate people in India who would love those jobs. Rose also wants more American kids to consider colleges overseas, the same way many young people from other countries consider U.S. schools. Schools in India, like the prestigious film school Rose wanted to attend or his wife's law school, may be exclusive and difficult to get into. But he was shocked to learn his wife was only spending about $400 a year for her education. While he isn't sure what the bridge, quote-unquote, between his two communities could look like, Rose is already talking with folks in the school district at the University of Illinois and the U.S. State Department about the future. No matter what happens, he knows he needs to find a way to spend time in both India and in downstate Illinois. I'm here for me. I'm there for other people, Rose said. When I'm not here, nobody misses me. There's a hole in the city when I'm not there, in the sports industry, in the church community, just the community in general. And there's a picture of Rose, who is a black man, tall, probably in his 30s, and he's surrounded by some young Indian boys who are in kind of, they're kind of dressed up. They have ties on, maybe their school uniform. But let's see, the caption reads for this provided photo, Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, Anton Rose, poses with students at one of his speaking engagements in India. Next up, top of the morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. The success of Illinois football created a wonderful opportunity for the band program at Rova, R-O-W-V-A, High School near Galesburg. With Barry Hauser's College Musicians in Orlando, Florida for the Citrus Bowl, the Tigers from Oneida happily made the trip to fill in at the U of I women's basketball game on New Year's Eve. Ditching their usual golden white look and wearing orange family t-shirts, that's F-A-M-I-L-L-Y t-shirts, director Wes Anderson and 41 students entertained the State Farm Center crowd of 4,272 with a lively set. The kids had an absolute blast, Anderson said. It wasn't just them, our entire community got involved. We had so many Illini fans from Rova, including Rova alumni, who also were also Illinois alumni, come out to cheer us on. It truly became a day of celebration and connection for everyone. Band's a big deal at Rova, with about 100 of the school's 243 students participating in some form. When Hauser took to social media to seek out a high school substitute, Anderson and co. jumped at the offer. We would do it again in a heartbeat, Anderson said. This was one of the best experiences I've had as a band director, and it's something our students and community will remember for years to come. And there's a nice photograph of a band playing in orange. In the stands, the caption reads, Rova High's band performs at the U of I women's basketball game at State Farm Center in Champaign on December 31st. At newsgazette.com, you can see the gallery from the game day. So you can check that out. This photo is provided by Robin Scholz, S-C-H-O-L-Z, of the News Gazette. Now, history. Area history. In 1925, Elza Warren never knew what hit him when he woke up yesterday alongside the Illinois Central right-of-way north of the P&E crossing. He knew he had been unconscious for a couple of hours, or so he told police, and that is as far as his memory went. He had an ugly gash alongside his head, however, that bore evidence that something pretty bad, or hard, collided with him. The last that Warren could remember was that he had been walking along the tracks on his way home. In 2010, the Kraft Foods Pizza Depot in Champaign would be transferred to Nestle as a result of Kraft's agreement this week to sell its North American pizza business to Nestle for $3.7 billion. That's from 2010. And in international history, today's highlight. On January 7, 2015, masked gunmen stormed the Paris offices of Charlie Hebdo, a French newspaper that had caricatured the Prophet Muhammad, methodically killing 12 people, including the editor, before escaping. Two suspects were killed 2 days later. That was in 2015. also on this date in 1610. Astronomer Galileo Galilei observed four of Jupiter's moons for the first time. In 1955, singer Marian Anderson became the first Black American to sing with the Metropolitan Opera in New York in Verdi's Un Ballo en Machera. And in 1979, Vietnamese forces captured the Cambodian capital of Phnom Penh, overthrowing the Khmer Rouge government. The next headline reads, one moment. Danville facility extending reach for law enforcement. Police and Community Training Center. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey and is based out of Danville. The new police training center has been a busy place for learning since it opened last year. The Danville Police Department's new Police and Community Training Center inside the city's Public Works Building on Voorhees Street opened in April 2024 and offers the latest in virtual reality technology to train local law enforcement. Philip Wilson, Evidence Training and Recruitment Manager with the Danville Police Department, provided a summary of activities and accomplishments of the center during the past year. This facility has played a pivotal role in enhancing the skills of our officers, engaging with our community, and fostering collaboration across various city and local agencies, Wilson stated. Since opening the training center in mid-April 2024, it's seen approximately 400 officer attendances and 31 civilian attendances across 16 classes at the center. Wilson says the number reflects total attendances, meaning many officers attended multiple classes, demonstrating their dedication to continuous training and development. In addition, our virtual reality or VR training initiative has been particularly impactful, with 11 VR trainers, 8 from outside agencies, facilitating simulations. We estimate that over 100 individual officers and approximately 25 civilians have participated in at least one VR training session, further enhancing situational preparedness and decision-making skills, he said. The training center also hosts a range of specialized training classes, including high-risk traffic stops, de-escalation, control tactics, emergency medical response, and more. In partnership with Mobile Training Unit 12, we host mandated training classes for regional police departments. We currently have 2 MTU 12 classes scheduled in the first 3 months of 2025, ensuring continuous skill development for officers in the area, according to Wilson. In addition to training programs, the center regularly hosts meetings for area chiefs of police and the Vermilion County Sheriff's Office, as well as meetings for various city departments and local non-city agencies. Several area police chiefs have toured the facility as they plan to implement similar training centers of their own. Our training center has been recognized as a great example of an effective, modern facility that other agencies aspire to replicate, according to Wilson. The Citizens Police Academy and Junior Citizens Police Academy also were at the training center in the past year with 21 and 22 participants, respectively. These programs underscore our commitment to fostering positive relationships with the community and providing insight into the vital role of law enforcement, Wilson stated. We are proud of the significant contributions the Danville Police Training Center has made to our community and its impact on advancing the professionalism of our officers. We look forward to continuing to serve as a resource for training, collaboration, and community engagement. The training center was made possible through the assistance of former state senator Scott Bennett, who died in December of 2022. The city received a $1 million Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity grant to enhance violent crime prevention and community police development. The grant provided funding for the training center within a section of the public works facility that wasn't being used, as well as improvements. And there's a photo of a classroom. The caption reads, a classroom in the Danville Police Department's new Police and Community Training Center that opened last year in the city's Public Works building. And that photo is provided by Jennifer Bailey for the News Gazette. Next up, 19-year-old arrested in Sunday shooting incident. This article is collectively written by the News Gazette and is based out of Danville. A Danville man has been arrested after a Sunday shooting incident in the 900 block of Martin Street. Alvin L. Daniels, 19, was arrested and booked on charges of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, aggravated discharge of a firearm, and obstructing resisting a peace officer. Officers tracked Daniels after responding to a report of shots fired at 4:30 p.m., locating the suspect within a two-block radius of the scene. Police recovered a firearm and making an arrest at a residence. If you have any information to add to this incident, please contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250, 217-431-2250, or anonymously through Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at vccrimestoppers.org, that's Vermilion County, crimestoppers.org, or you can call 217-446-TIPS, which translates out to 217-446-8477. The next headline reads, arrest made in fatal December 21st shooting, Danville Police. This article, again, is collectively written by the News Gazette and is based out of Danville. A Danville man has been charged in the murder of another Danville man that took place in the days leading up to Christmas. Daryl L. Boston, 28, was arrested Saturday and charged with first-degree murder in the December 21st fatal shooting of Joseph Jones in Danville. The Vermilion County Coroner's Office said Mr. Jones sustained multiple gunshot wounds and was pronounced dead at the scene, the area of Colette and William Streets in Danville. After identifying Boston as a suspect, police located him at 1 a.m. Saturday in a vehicle at a business in the 1200 block of North Bowman Avenue. He was arrested and taken to the public safety building. Those with any additional information are asked to contact Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or again through Crime Stoppers at the phone number 217-446-8477. And now let's take a brief look at our weather forecast over the next few days. Today, 23 degrees, partly sunny, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 19, the low will be 6. Mostly sunny, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, wind chill values as low as 0. Overnight, partly cloudy, clearing gradually. Thursday, again, colder. The high will be 19, the low will be 4, and it will be sunny. Friday, slightly warmer. The high will be 23, the low is 6. Mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of snow in the afternoon, so we could get some more snow on Friday. Saturday, the high will be 26, the low will be 15, and it will be mostly cloudy. So, colder, potentially more snow at the end of the week. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. Happy New Year to you all. I hope you're staying safe and warm. There's a lot of snow where I'm at. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back to read part two of the News Gazette with you shortly, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.